This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt on the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And once again, joining the show is the sous chef of the Garden Show, Frank Proctor. Nice to have you by here to keep us dry and warm. Well, not so much warm today. The temps aren't that bad, Charlie. But
boy, is it soggy.
Wet. And you, the danger here now, of course, is the ground is covered in a lot of ice.
Yeah.
And that water's got nowhere to go, so danger of flooding. And so we hope everybody's okay with their basements and stuff.
Yeah, and they're saying, if you've got snow up against the foundation of your house or around your window wells, move it away if you can.
Yeah.
But driving here, I cannot believe the number of people I saw out jogging.
Me too.
And there's quite a lot. Like,
I'm
sometimes
saying,
the sidewalk is clear,
yeah.
But then all of a sudden the sidewalk has a bunch of ice. And these guys are like tripping along. I'm going, wow.
Now,
more
just
power
last
to you.
Week, I was by the station and coming along, I guess it was King Street, and I noticed two people walking their dogs. And the dog's got little rubber shoes on, which I thought was kind of cool, you know?
I think it's to protect them from salt. Well,
yes, exactly.
Salt is really hard because they lick their feet, right, when they come in.
Poor little guys. Anyway, good morning to all the dog walkers out there. Nice to have you with us,
and
too.
And if you're a jogger, more power to you.
Well.
But it's a bit dangerous out there right now.
Well, they're trying to protect theirs, I know. Phone numbers. I better give you those to reach Charlie at the Garden Show here at AM 740. 416-360-0740. And then anywhere else in the province, toll free, 1-866-744-740. And our little mantra goes this way, call early, call often, one question per call. And if you are a first-time caller, please let James Dooley, who answers the phone there, and I will ring that bell just for you, okay? Very good,
Good. A couple of quick announcements.
Oh, sure.
Remember, tomorrow, the Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society is meeting from 1:30 to 4 p.m. at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, 777 Lawrence Avenue East. Free admission, free parking, and non-members are welcome. Monday, the Agent Court Garden Club is meeting at 8 p.m. And again, free parking, refreshments available. Everybody is welcome. And something to put on your calendar, something I actually attended last year, it is an annual event, the Southern Ontario Orchid Society.
I remember you talking about
that. Yeah, they're presenting their 35th annual orchid show. It's on the weekend of Saturday and Sunday, February 8th and 9th. It is at the Toronto Botanical Gardens from 11 to 5 every day. And as they say, the sights and scents of a tropical rainforest full of blooming orchids will fill the TBG and enchant every visitor.
It must be pretty humid in there, too, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, in order for them to be truly happy. But it is a show, right? They're just in there for a couple of days. So it's not like a greenhouse kind of humidity. It's still a building, right? Mm-hmm. It's still a regular building. But, I mean, the thing is that the orchids are not just sitting there in pots. It's displays. Like, the different groups that make up the Southern Ontario Orchid Society will put together combinations. It's very creative and innovative. And if you're an orchid lover, it's amazing the different varieties. I mean, literally hundreds of different varieties of orchids. You know, from tiny, almost microscopic ones to 6 foot tall.
Wow.
Right? Like orchids just from every color. I mean, that's what I mean. Like orchids are just, they're just every kind of variety out there. And they just cover so many different sizes and scents.
Sounds like a great place to head.
It's a really neat place to head, particularly in February, you know, when it's dull. Mm-hmm. And also, frankly, if you're at all interested in orchids, of course, there are sales areas where you can buy orchids. And there are experts with years of experience, some as many as 50 years, will be available with advice about how to care for orchids. Remember, of course, the Southern Ontario Orchid Society is a nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing orchid lovers together. Under the guidance of the Southern Ontario Orchid Society, members share their knowledge about growing, breeding, preserving, and conserving the vast family of orchids.
Excellent. Well, that's a good little start to the show, for gosh sakes.
There
we're
going to
continue with more. We've got several callers online already waiting to talk to you, Charlie, and ask or answer questions that other people have had. But in the meantime, it is now time to exercise.
Well,
yes, I'm feeling brawny. Brawny,
that's good.
Yeah.
I think it's the post-Christmas needing to think about that extra little layer around the waistline. And, of course, to be able to maintain the active lifestyles that you and I both very much embrace.
I'm doing my finger push-ups as we speak.
We find that we can be far less, far more effective and certainly pain-free with the use of daily use of Sierracil. Did you remember to take your three little pills today?
You know something?
What?
No.
Oh, well, there you go.
Now,
so that's why you're only doing
finger
push-ups.
I've got to remember.
Yeah. It's like vitamins, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those daily
things.
Well,
I should take them, before I go to bed.
Oh. Well, you got to put them out there with your little glass of milk or whatever it is.
Yeah, little glass of milk. And wait for Santa to arrive. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, Sierracil is a completely natural mineral supplement that for many people will work to help make joints work more smoothly and eliminate pain that often just comes with age.
Yeah.
Available at many health food stores, include Health Planet stores at 5 locations. Also available over the web, sierracil.ca, or give them a call, 1-877-JOINT-14.
SIERRASIL.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Well, following that neat little poetic offering, let us go to the lines and see who our good friend James Patrick Dooley has lined up to speak to. Why, it's Gary there in T.O. And, hey, first-time caller, Gary. Where you go? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Gary.
Do you know anything about aloe vera plant?
Yep.
In the west, facing west.
Okay, that's good. That's fairly bright, as long as it's a window without a lot of covering on it.
Not really.
Like no blinds or shears or any of that kind of stuff?
No.
That's good. That works because that is, if you don't have a south window, your west is your next best window.
Yeah, I had it in the east before.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's okay.
Well, west is better just because it's a little more intense light. Aloe vera is a succulent.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's able to store a lot of liquid in its leaves and its stems and roots. And so it is very easy to overwater a plant like aloe vera because we think it's dry. The soil appears dry, but it really doesn't want water. And that's the most common way to kill an aloe vera is overwatering.
Exactly, yeah. And I know you only water it maybe once every 2 weeks or so.
You know what? I have a big aloe vera. I think I water it about twice a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, because what you do is you feel the leaves, and as long as they're firm, do not water. As soon as they start to feel a little bit soft, a little bit, literally soft, softer, then you water. But, bottom line is when you think it's time to water, don't. At least wait one more week after that. Because you think it's time, but it really isn't.
Okay.
How is yours looking otherwise?
That's looking fine.
Okay, good.
It's grown and it's got babies. And
nice.
Hey, that's great.
And if you're really lucky, it'll flower if it's really happy.
It'll flower.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, if it's really lucky and it's really a happy plant. So consider some fertilizer as we get into the real growing season, March through to September. But otherwise, just water as required and keep it in that sunny location.
Thanks so much for your advice.
You're very welcome. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Gary. No problem. Always welcome here to the Garden Show. Phone lines again, 416-360-0740 and 1-866-744-740 anywhere else in the province. And Tom, good morning to you.
Hey, how are you two?
Very well. Did I understand you're a first-time caller as well?
This is my first time getting through. I've attempted many times.
Well, let me just give you the bell with a little bit of vigor behind it here. There we are. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for getting through. What's going on?
Well, I'm a newbie at water gardening, and I was lucky to stumble across the Greater Toronto Water Garden Society. I used to be at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, but I just wanted to make an announcement that they're moving as of this month to the Banbury Club, maybe 4 or 5 blocks north of their old location.
Right.
And January 26th will be their first meeting, and the topic will be the Japanese water gardens.
Cool.
Yeah, very, very good.
So you've been attending the meetings and learning all about different styles and designs and ways to water garden?
Well, yes, we did some renovation in our backyard, and we ended up with a big hole. We decided it would be cheaper to fill it with water than to bring in topsoil.
Okay.
So knowing nothing but that, we came across the Water Garden Society, and they taught us pumps, they taught us plants, they taught us fish, marginals, all kinds of things that we're putting into practice.
So now did you realize that it would have been cheaper to bring in the topsoil?
No. We enjoy it immensely. There's nothing like having a coffee early in the morning, listening to the waterfall and watching our fish.
I absolutely agree with you. Oh, yeah, there's nothing better than that sound of water and obviously the movement and the life within the water. You know, whether it's wandering out with a coffee or just the sitting outside and, you know, the neighbor's mowing the lawn and somebody else, some little kid is screeching somewhere else, but you don't hear it because you've got that other ambient white noise of the water going on, and
I
love it.
And even our neighbors come out on their balcony and you know, set up their chairs and listen to it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Wow, so you've got quite the water garden, it sounds like, with, like you said, plant, like a whole ecosystem. It is quite a responsibility once you get that ecosystem going.
Now, how'd you do during all the ice storm and all that sort of thing with that?
Oh, yeah, that didn't bother us too much. We were out for about 4 days, but we had a fireplace and a barbecue, and of course the pond just sits there frozen and quite happy.
Oh, good.
So you don't keep the pond open for the fish that are in there?
Yeah, we keep a small heater that opens an 8-inch hole that lets the gases out.
Right.
And the fish just go dormant, sit on the bottom.
So with the ice storm and the lack of electricity, of course your pond froze over for a couple of days, I guess.
That's correct.
But you're confident everything's fine.
Well, and you know, it wasn't so bad. The temperature rose right after the ice storm.
That's right.
And it wasn't that thick.
So it didn't freeze much. Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the really bad cold was just this last week, but we all had electricity for that.
That's correct. And, you know, thanks to the Water Garden Society, they taught all me this over the last 2 years. And I just want to see if anybody else out there with water wants to go to the meeting.
Excellent. So Banbury Club, January 26th, what time?
It starts at about 1 in the afternoon.
Okay, there it is.
Excellent,
Japanese
Tom.
Water garden. Thanks so much for the call.
You're doing
Thank
a good job.
Thank you very, very much.
Doing a good job as communications director of the... take care.
All right, you two have a good day.
Thank you so much. Do we have another little word to say here?
Yes, we do.
Do we?
Do we do?
Another word to say.
No big words.
Well, I'm indicating that, but if this were televised, you'd see me waving my arms around and saying, "Charlie, do I do exercises now?
Do I have
now?
To do more exercises?
Yeah, do I?
Okay, so
because I'll stand up now.
So you know what? Frank's talking about Sierrazil. They have a couple of new products. One of them is a topical spray.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So 100% natural. Almost instant pain relief.
You forced me to sit down again. That shocked me.
So you don't even have to take those three little pills and remember them. you can actually spray this almost instant pain relief. So that's kind of cool. So they've got a lot of research going on. They're an interesting group of people. They're constantly looking at ways to improve everyone's lifestyle.
Based in Vancouver?
That's right. And, you know, whether you're an athlete, whether, you know, like a professional athlete, heading off to the Olympics and taking your Sierracil, or you are or an amateur athlete, obviously, or you're just somebody who, through age, are feeling some of the joint pain that comes when we want to be active. And you want to stay active, Sierracil can be very, very helpful. So for more information, 1-877-JOINT-14. Check them on the web, sierracil.ca, or pick up Sierracil at any local health food store.
Okay, Sierracil.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Yes, the darling of the daisies is with us. Once again, that's Charlie Dobbin, of course. And I want to say hi to Irene out in Belgrave, who got bumped last. We ran out of time.
Yes, it happens.
And she'd been waiting and waiting. And so finally, she gets on the air now. Okay. Welcome to the show, Irene.
You're kind of fading away a bit.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they've said that before about me.
Good morning, Irene.
Your voice.
Okay, go ahead. Ask your question there.
Well, a friend gave me an orchid plant when my sister passed away a couple of months ago, and there's nothing wrong with it right now, but she threw out the directions, and I didn't know about watering or what to do with it.
Do you have any idea what kind of orchid it is?
No, I don't. It's on a tall, there's two of them. They're on tall, really, stems, and... It's got about 14 blooms on it right now.
Oh, nice. What color is it?
It's purple.
Lovely.
Well, mauvey purple.
Mm-hmm. Right. So likely what it is, it's the orchid that we see most often available and like you were just saying, Frank, you know, you had one yourself. I think it was like a Costco orchid. These are what they call the moth orchids or a Paphiopedilum. Now, the best way to look after those, regular room temperature is fine. You don't have to worry about temperature.
No.
Light, good light. If you actually do, like,
I have it as an east window.
East is good. Even north is good when it comes to the moth orchids. They don't need a lot of extreme sunlight like we get out of the southern windows. So east is good. And if you got it right in the window?
No, it's on my dining room table, but it's right at the window.
Okay, so it might be nicer if you can get a little closer to the window. Like, how many feet away would you say it is on the dining room table from the window?
Yes, but I can push it over closer to the window.
Yeah, it does make a difference. You want it, if you can, to have that actual orchid 2 to 3 feet away from the window.
I see.
So you don't want it touching the glass. You don't want it too close to the window because it will be too cold. But you don't want it more than 3 feet away because the light levels will be too low.
That on this table would be about what that would be.
Oh, okay, perfect.
One lady told me that she had one and she gave it an ice cube once a week and pick a day and do it the same day every week. And another lady gave hers a quarter of a cup of water, which I guess is basically about the same.
Right. So the difference in those two kinds of care is that the quarter cup of water, particularly if it's been sitting out, is room temperature and is much more gentle on the plant than a freezing.
That's what I've been doing.
Yeah, freezing cold ice cube is like, oh my gosh, how would you like to be, you know, surrounded by ice cubes as a way, you know, it's just one
orchid
of those
with long underwear.
Yeah, exactly,
whoa.
Shivering. So, but what we like about the ice cube idea is that it does provide a slow watering. Mm. It's not just a big dump of water onto the plant.
No.
So that you're right, that little quarter cup. Trickled in around the wood chips, which is what the orchid is growing in,
Yes.
Is a good idea. It will likely run through and out the holes in the bottom of the pot. But, of course, you have a saucer below, and it will slowly be absorbed back into the pot.
So, I see.
So that's all fine. And the other thing that orchids love is humidity. Our homes tend to be very dry at this time of year with the hot air blowing around and the furnace, etc. So anything you can do to raise the humidity levels is a good thing.
Yes.
Okay, so that's spritzing, misting a couple of times a day if you wish to do so. It's putting...
Well, I have a humidifier.
Oh, good. And you've got your humidifier set as high as you possibly can.
So, yes.
And, of course, that's a bit hard when the temperatures are fluctuating all over the place. We have condensation on our windows, and then all of a sudden we're above zero and we're all good with our high humidity in our houses. But the plants, particularly tropical and subtropical plants, they love humidity. So humidifier set as high as you can set it, spritzing and misting, even a pebble tray, a tray full of pebbles below the orchid, and the tray is always filled with water, and water is constantly evaporating around the plant.
Around it.
It just raises the humidity in that specific area. That can make a real difference.
Well, it seems to be doing all right so far. It's a couple of months ago, so.
Excellent. Good to hear.
I seem to be able to kill plants.
Or I find orchids fairly tough myself. They're not a super simple plant, but then there's certainly many kinds out there, some of which are simpler than others.
Right, so, well, it's really pretty, and a friend, as I say, gave it to me when my sister passed away, and it's kind of a nice to have something.
Great.
Of course, sure.
Well, there you go. Well, good for you.
And really enjoy your program. I enjoy all the programs on 740.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Well, thank you for, and I'm glad I was able to get through, and I'll maybe call again.
Please do.
Thanks.
Okay. And there she goes, the hitman of the garden. She loves, boom, killing off stuff there.
Well, I was going to say, if you give the numbers, I thought we could just update, because I remember you had an orchid at one point.
Yes, I did.
Let's just tell everybody where you are on your orchids.
I'm saying... Good night, Irene. it passed away.
It did, eh?
Yes. And I don't know what the
You're pretty good at killing
was.
Things.
I am. I am really damn good at killing things, it seems. But, it was going along fine, and I don't know what happened.
You had a move in there, too.
Oh,
that probably is,
that's,
you know, things.
That's exactly right.
Plants are living things and can't be neglected for too long or, carried upside down or any of that kind of stuff. So, it is sometimes hard to move with plants. But, I have three orchids. Because I, as you know, I'm not a real orchid person, and I've spent many years killing them myself. So now I'm feeling so that I really needed to, learn a little more, which is why I went to the Southern Ontario Orchid Society meeting last year, or the big event, the show, and I picked up a little orchid that grows in a sunny location, and that one is doing very nicely in my southern window, covered in flowers.
Wow.
And I have two others that are similar to what our caller Irene was calling about, which is the Phalaenopsis, the moth orchids. One's a mini and one's a regular. And they're in a north window, and one of them is just blooming now, just sending out a flower stem.
All right. You had mentioned giving out the phone numbers, and I better do that before we continue here, because we have a couple of lines open right now. 416-360-0740 in Toronto, and then anywhere else in the province, toll-free for The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, 1-866-740-4740. All right. I'm looking at our monitor. And I've got a question, our good friend James Patrick Dooley. Is this call actually coming in from Calgary? Yes?
Alberta?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Larry, good morning and welcome. A first-time caller, certainly from Calgary. Hey, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Good morning. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Has it warmed up there?
Oh, it has.
Yeah.
We're well above zero today. It's raining.
Still minus 10 here, so.
Ooh.
But that's a warm-up for you guys, isn't it?
That's not bad, yeah. So my question is, I have this hibiscus that's been sort of handed down in the family. It's about 40 years old. It's flowered for me every year. And this year I was having windows put in just prior to Christmas, and the temperature in the house dropped to like 2 degrees. And the hibiscus froze, I think, because all the leaves went dead.
Yeah, shriveled up. I guess they kind of went limp and then fell off.
Well, they haven't even fallen off
yet. But they're hanging. They're just limp, still green?
They're limp and very dry.
Yeah, okay.
So now there is a little tiny bit of green right at the at the stalk at the bottom, mm-hmm. where it seems to be some generating new growth. Mm-hmm. Do I cut this rate back down now, or what is there any hope of making this thing survive?
Oh yeah, probably. Is it a multi-stem planter or grown as a tree?
It's got three or four stems.
Like a big bush. Wow, that's pretty fun having something that old in the family. So what you'll find, tropical and subtropical plants, of course, they don't like to be in freezing and below zero for any length of time, but many of them are much tougher than we realize. So you're right. It could be a case where all those tips and stems got too cold and have now died. But of course, there is still vigor and health within the root, which is below the soil level and would not have been as cold just because they were protected by the soil and could have survived. So cutting it right back might be the way to go ultimately. But for now, what I would do is I would look really closely at the tips. If there is any life in those branches, you will see very small, vestigial, if you will, green buds on that plant. Because it has been a couple of weeks now since this whole cold thing happened, right?
Yeah, it's actually been about 3 weeks.
Yeah, and you've had it, so you've maintained it in that sunny location that it was normally in, and you haven't overwatered it through this process because it's not using much water, right? It's just been shock.
I haven't. I actually have one of the clay automatic watering things on it because we travel a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So it keeps it pretty much consistent, and it hasn't really changed. It's slowed right down a lot.
Okay, good. So the automatic watering thing knows the water's not being used, so it's slowed down the amount that it's watering.
That's right. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, because it won't be with all those leaves just going, completely dormant like that. So what I do is I would look really closely just to be sure that there might be life in those stems. The other thing is you can, with your fingernail, you can scrape the bark on the branches, see if it's green underneath or if it's just white and brown underneath. You may find that what I'd be inclined to do would be I would cut all the tips back. I would go through the entire plant, cutting it back about 2 inches, everything. And what you'll find is if there's life in those stems and branches, that will force them out. They will start to grow from that point. If, when you're cutting, it's all kind of dry and brown and it's dropping to the ground and nothing really happens, but nevertheless, you will start to see growth from wherever the plant is alive. So whether it's the tips where you now have removed, 2 or 3 inches, or it's right from the base. One way or the other, doing a whole tip pruning to the entire plant is going to force growth out.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, at this time, I shouldn't try it. Like, I thought maybe I should put it into a smaller pot or something, but I'm afraid to disturb the root ball at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. No, putting it into a smaller pot isn't going to be to its advantage at all, and any repotting is stressful. So right now it's already been stressed, so what you want to do is you want to get it out of that stressful state it's in and get it happy again. Because remember, when it doesn't have functioning green leaves on it, it can't photosynthesize. And when a plant can't photosynthesize, it's not able to absorb light energy and convert it to carbohydrate and basically feed itself. So it is suffering because of that as well. So you want to do whatever you can to get some green growth on that plant that's actually functioning. So like I say, just do an entire pruning on the whole thing, 2 to 3 inches off every stem and branch, and new growth will arrive from somewhere. Once that new growth is clear where it's coming from, then you're going to do some better pruning, be another month from now. February, it might be late February, before you're really cleaning it up and getting the plant balanced out.
Okay. Very good.
Thanks so much for your call. Let us know how that works out.
I have a quick comment on orchids. Uh-huh. I heard you guys talking just before I phoned in here, and I have a 4-year-old orchid that I managed to force to flower again every year, and it has three beautiful buds on it, just getting ready to flower now.
Excellent.
Hey, excellent.
Good for you.
Anyhow.
For somebody who travels a lot, you've got some good things going on with your plants.
Yeah, and I'm the only one in the house that likes the plants. Everyone else tries to kill them.
I know. Yeah, I find that in the house, only one person should be in charge because they either get overwatered or underwatered if everybody's in charge.
Absolutely.
Thanks for your call, Larry.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, take care of those listening in from Calgary. Isn't that neat?
Yeah, it's fun.
Very nice. Yeah, you're listening to The Gardening Show here at AM 740 with Charlie Dobbin. I'm Frank Proctor, the sous chef of the garden, as we say hello to Helen, listening in from Scarborough. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Excellent.
Good. I have an ice storm question, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're going to get lots of them. I have a Daphne, which is
pretty well flattened, sort of spread eagled from the middle out.
Pancake.
And it's clearly not going to bounce up. One of my neighbors has a honeysuckle, which was over the fence and flat. Mm-hmm. It has completely bounced back up. But my Daphne is not looking very happy at all. And I know I'm going to have some trouble trying to save it. And I would like to know how much, when the snow and ice and all the winter has gone, can I prune it back and where?
Good question, actually. So Daphne is an evergreen or a semi-evergreen, which is why it probably hasn't bounced as much as the deciduous plants. So when you look at it, like, has the snow and the ice that did pile up on it has virtually disappeared at this point?
No, not completely. Some of the lower branches closer to the ground are still encased. Basically frozen in
right.
the piles of snow.
Now, and Daphne is, believe it or not, it's a fairly brittle plant. So it could be that with that weight of all that snow and ice, it could be that once all that ice and snow disappears, you're going to see that some of those branches are broken. And if that's the case, that's where you're going to prune.
Of course.
However, what I would be inclined to do in the spring, because Frank doesn't know how lovely this plant is, but this is a plant that is so fragrant.
Yeah.
When it blooms early in the spring, the entire neighborhood knows it's blooming.
Like, oh,
it,
wow. Yeah.
It is just the most lovely, most very strong like scent, but it's a really, really lovely plant. So if you're going to do any pruning on a flowering shrub, we do it after they flower. So you can shear and give a whole haircut to that plant post-flowering. Flowering, which would be probably May this year, depending on the spring, could be late May. But first, like I said, you're going to see if there's broken branches in amongst there that are going to be, you just have to remove them entirely. It can, there are, some of the Daphnes really stand up as a shrub, and some of them sprawl more on the ground anyway. Is yours a variegated variety, or is it green?
Yeah, it's the Carol Mackie.
Yeah, which tends to be quite upright.
Well, it is, but interestingly, it clearly likes where it was, because it's only been there about 7 or 8 years, but it's probably 4 feet high and a good 8 feet wide.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, I have pruned it around the edges back already a couple of times because it's going to take over the garden. So it clearly likes to be wider than tall.
Yeah.
And I think this too is, when you add a weight of snow and ice on it, it's going to flatten like it has.
Yeah.
But what I was wondering is, would it regenerate from the middle?
No,
nope. I get you.
Not so much.
Middle.
No, its new growth is all on its tips. So that's why you are going to, once the snow and ice is gone, you're going to prune for health. But you're also, after it flowers, going to prune for shape.
Okay.
So that, that's where you're going to get out your shears, perhaps, or your pruners. And because you just don't want, if 6 feet wide is just way too wide, then you might have to take it back in a foot. And new growth will come from where you're pruning. On those tips.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that's
good
great.
Stuff.
I'll give it a try.
Wonderful.
Great
Thanks
call,
for
Helen.
Your call.
Thank you so much. And the Garden Show is on the air right now, and we've got a bit of time to go, too. Although, I'm just looking at that clock, and it's time to take another little bit of a break here. But we will return and talk to Ron in Orangeville and Georgette in Cambridge. Folks waiting on the lines to talk to Charlie Dobbin on the Garden Show from AM 740.
Don't change the radio station. Just because the weather changes, garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Yes, indeed. Gee, the calls are coming in fast and furious here, so let's get to the next caller online. That would be Ron in Orangeville. Hi, Ron. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have a Christmas cactus. I've had it for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summertime, I've heard your program about them, and I put it out in the summertime and bring it in around the 1st of October, and this thing has bloomed constantly since 1st of October, and it's still covered in bloom.
Wow, nice.
And I just ignore it all summer long, and I do the same with my amaryllis, and I put a lot of compost on my amaryllis, and it has bloomed. It bloomed on Christmas Day, it opened.
Wow.
So I really do appreciate your show. I've learned a lot and continue on with the great work.
Thank you. Ron, before you go anywhere, the amaryllis, do you keep that growing, like you never allow it to go dormant? You just keep it growing in a pot?
I bring it in. I brought it in about the 1st of October and ignored it. The leaves died back.
Oh, they did.
And then it woke up. I brought it in, and it started to grow.
So it.
I left it set for about 6 weeks.
Yeah. And so the leaves.
Then I start to water it, and it just came right back.
With flowers. So, and the leaves, did they die back when it was outside in the garden, like start back in September, or was it when you brought it in that the leaves died back?
They started to die down in the garden.
Yeah, in the fall.
Outside,
right.
Because I sort of ignored it maybe too much. But
but it was shorter days, too, shorter days and cooler nights. That often triggers plants.
It was in a shady area, and it just, you know. It just died down,
good
and then I
you.
Brought it in, and
nice.
It just came right back. My mother-in-law always said, you have to put lots and lots and lots of manure on them.
Mm-hmm. And so,
and it just keeps on going.
Wow.
I've had this for about 5-6 years. Somebody gave it to my wife, and when she passed away, I just kept it going.
Yeah, really. Neat. Very, very good. So lots of compost, like you said, on the amaryllis, and not the Christmas cactus. I wouldn't think it wouldn't like so much compost.
No,
No,
it's more just
soggy
soil.
Yeah, wow, good tips.
It just keeps on blooming. It's been about 3 months.
Very nice and festive. Thanks for
and
your
I
call.
I learned that from your show, so thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Ron.
Our pleasure.
All the best for 2014.
And you
bye.
Too.
Thank
bye.
You. Bye-bye now, and all the best of health, too, to everybody listening in out there. And, boy, we've got call. Oh, now here's another question about an amaryllis from Cambridge. It's Georgette. I love that name, Georgette. Hello, yeah. Georgette. Welcome
Hello.
To the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, well, the gentleman before did answer, does this plant actually go dormant?
Yeah, so it sounds like he leaves his outside, like his amaryllis goes out in the spring in the pot, and then he buries it probably in a shady spot out in the garden, and like he said, he does add compost to the pot that the amaryllis is in. It stays out till October. Well, by October, the leaves have started to turn yellow. So he pulls it up out of the garden, brings it into the house, and does not water it, completely ignores it. So the leaves have already started to turn yellow at that point. They continue to turn yellow through October and through November, and you know, yellow and brown and fall off. And then by December, time to start watering the plant, and of course you start to water it in December, and it all starts to grow again. And as Ron said, it's just came back with all kinds of flowers for the fourth year running.
Yeah. It is growing in the summer season, though, when
That's
it's
right.
in the garden.
Because remember, it's a bulb, and the bulb needs to fatten up again, and it does that through its leaves. So a lot of energy goes into the creation of all those flowers. So all that energy drains out of the bulb to make the flowers. And then, of course, we allow leaves to grow, and that fattens the bulb up again. Then the bulb takes a break, a 6 to 8 week break. And then when it starts to grow again, it starts to grow immediately with flowers.
Oh, okay. Now, there's all kinds of good instructions on the box, but nothing about the plant going dormant.
I know.
Maybe I'd have to let it dry completely and then start again next year.
Well, you do, like, in order, sometimes plants don't naturally want to go dormant. Like, if they're in your house as a house plant and it's September, October, they're just still going to keep acting green, right? So you have to stop watering to force it to go dormant.
Okay. All right. And if I don't want to put it in the garden, like, is that what I should be doing? Then just stop watering for a while
Well, that's right. So whether it's in your house or outside all summer, you have to water through that process and let it grow as a green plant.
Okay.
But at some point, usually early September, we stop watering. Whether it's outside or inside, no more water. And by October, it's dormant.
Okay. I've got that. Thank you very much.
Thanks
very
so much
helpful.
For your call.
Thanks.
Our pleasure.
All righty. And we have a little note showing up on the line here, our monitor, from James Patrick Dooley.
He's
been speaking to
a good guy.
Obviously a lovely woman, Cecilia. She would like to know where to buy the sticky traps.
Those sticks? Yeah, the ones called Sticky Sticks, STIX sticks, made by Safers. So any retailer that sells Safers products, I believe. We don't know where Cecilia lives, but any of the Home Depots, the Lowe's, they would sell, Canadian Tire, they would sell Safers products, so you could try there. Or if you have a garden center like a Sheridan's or a, you know, Terra greenhouses, any of those sort of big garden centers, they will have it as well. So just depending on where Cecilia was calling from, that's what I would recommend too. That's to lower fungus gnats in your home.
Even sound nasty, I know. Don't they? Fungus gnats.
Gnats. Gnats that eat fungus. That'd be
a great name for a baseball team or whatever. Mm. It's fungus gnats, and they're leading 5-0. Oh, sorry. I got slightly carried away there, which is sort of not unusual.
I was going to say, that's fairly consistent.
And before I have to take a little bit of a break here, I want to just give those phone numbers because that last call, of course, from Georgette leaves one line open now at 416-360-0740 for Toronto. And anywhere else in the province, hey, folks, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. We'll be back to talk to Brenda in Stony Creek in just a moment.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And Frank Proctor along for the ride, too, as the sous chef of the garden.
Or also known as the undergardener.
Undergardener. You gardener seem to prefer intriguing. That.
Well, sous chef of the garden isn't as clear as under gardener.
Excuse me. Dealing with a little bit of cold here.
Yeah, I know. We're both coughing, actually.
Now, we have to go to Stony Creek, and on our monitor it says Stony Creek Mountains. I'm wondering, Brenda, if you do indeed live on the ridge there.
The escarpment, maybe.
The escarpment, yeah.
Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank. Yes, I do live in Upper Stony Creek, or on the Stony Creek Mountain, as we like to call it in Hamilton.
Beautiful.
The mountain. Cool.
It is beautiful, and believe it or not, the spring is about a week to two later here up the hill, and the fall is about a week to two earlier.
The elevation does make a difference, for sure.
Even though in Hamilton, you have to say up south up the mountain and down north for by Lake Ontario.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I know. It is. Yeah, there's some odd geography when you get down into
the lake
neck
is to the north,
woods.
And
right. Yeah. So you had the ice storm did some damage to your cedars.
The big ice storm, yes. Yeah. Maple branches broke, and that's one thing. But I've tall cedars, about 20 feet, and some are about 25 feet, and they took beautiful photos because it looked like a wonderland. But the cedars were bent over completely in half. Some broke, but the ones who did not break are still sad and droopy.
Yeah.
And they're clumps of cedar, about three or four together. And I'm wondering if I can get somebody 15 feet tall, if they could tie the trunks close together again.
There's no advantage to tying them up, though.
They're drooping.
I know. But see, so if some of them broke off, they probably broke at about the 15-foot or 12-foot point, right?
Probably.
And, cedars are tough. Once they get pretty big, like old, you know, they're 30 or 40 years old, and they're 20 or 25 feet high, they will do exactly what you experience. They tip over in the heavy snow or the heavy ice and will break or bend over, not break, but never stand up again.
Oh.
Personally, what I would do, I would hire a skilled person, 15 feet tall, to come, and I would take them all off at the 15-foot point. Don't even try and tie them together. There's no advantage. Any kind of tying, all you're going to do is constrict the stems, the trunks of the trees, ultimately, so that they're going to die in that top section anyway. And remember that when a plant is weakened and gone down like that, and we try and stake it and tie it and hold it up, we're fighting nature. Like, gravity's taking it down, and we're trying to take it up, and it's still going to look silly. It's never going to stand up properly because it doesn't have the stem isn't strong enough.
Right.
So the best thing to do is just cut that stem right down.
Right. And I'm over 39, so I understand gravity very well.
Yeah, don't we all? Exactly. Well, and it was so interesting how so many plants did bounce right back. They had gone from lying flat on the ground. Wow. 6 days later, they were standing up. And that, you know, in the Toronto area, it was a 6-day flattening on everything. And most things went up. Now, not all of them. And you're right, that many of the cedars are still looking quite limp. And there's really nothing that can be done other than to cut them down.
All right. Well, that's not you know, what I was hoping, but I thought that might be the case.
Yeah. Just the way it is, I guess. Yeah.
That's the way
Thank you for the call, Brenda.
New Year.
Thank you very much.
And the
you
same
too.
To you.
Take care.
Okay, all the best from everybody here at AM 740.
People do that all the time, eh? They're always tying plants up, thinking that's going to make it better. And it doesn't work.
No.
Like, ultimately, the strings break, more ice comes, something, the plant goes right back.
The plant's weakened and it will rejuvenate.
Bondage for plants. It's really not a good idea. Plants don't appreciate it.
No.
No, you prune to avoid the bondage. you should see my mom. She's constantly tying
things
up.
It's the X-Rated Garden Show on the air now.
You should see the fancy strings and knots she puts on everything. It's like, Mother, stop it. We prune. We don't tie up.
Wow. Okay. This whole show is going to take a whole new tack here. Rose in Brighton, Ontario, one of my favorite little cities there. Good morning.
Good morning, Rose.
Oh, I love your show, and I've learned so much, even though I've gardened for years, and I'm like the lady over 39 years. I was given a mandevilla last spring, and it was out on my deck, and it just did wonderful. Mm-hmm. It bloomed crazy, and we twirled it, and we put stakes in and all the rest of it, and then, we brought it in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it lost every leaf, of course, but I keep watering it, and it's in a fairly sunny spot, warm, and I see some green on it. My daughter thought, well, looks like they're going to, do you think it's going to live?
Probably, but be careful about watering a plant that doesn't have any leaves on it.
Oh.
Right, because you can rot the roots, because if the plant's not using that water, the roots will just be sitting in soggy, you know, soil, and they have a tendency to rot. So what I would do if I were you is stop watering. Keep it in that sunny location or put it in as sunny of a spot as you have. Yes. Get out your pruners. Give it a pruning. Now, you can take up to a third off that plant, but if you're seeing new growth coming from the base or, you know, a foot up from the crown or wherever you're seeing little bits of new growth, cut back to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And only water, like stick your finger in the soil. Do not water if the soil feels damp at all. So that you might wait another week or two before you do any watering.
But, I certainly will.
But the days are getting longer, right? Plants are responding to the longer day length, though today is so gray and foggy, it's hard to believe. But once we get some real good sunshine happening, a lot of the plants that have been struggling in the low light are going to start to really pop some growth, and that's when we will prune to that point.
Yes. You see, we twirled it around the stakes and that, so. Mm-hmm. But I will. I'll trim it back and see what happens.
Yeah, let us know how it makes
you
out.
May have to untwirl it. Like, all that big, long growth that happened outside last spring often will die back just very naturally and normally in the fall and winter. So don't hesitate. It takes a while. You know, it might take an hour or two, right? Untwirl each branch, follow down to where it goes. You know, there's a bit of green, cut that one off.
Yes.
Go to the next one, untwirl, and follow down and prune.
Fine.
Okay.
Thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're
welcome.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye, and Happy New Year.
Thank you very much.
Now, here's an interesting call. Olga in North York has been trying to get on since the summertime. She is number one, a first-time caller, and I was going to say something about repeating myself because she's going to talk about radicchio, but that's lettuce, isn't it?
It is a form of lettuce,
yeah. Not radishes, as I was first thinking.
Flashing on.
So, quickly, Olga, welcome to the show. You finally made it.
Thank you. Yes, hi.
Welcome.
I'm growing vegetables. I have a small vegetable garden, and I love radicchio, but it grows, it starts to close, and after, in the crown, you know, in the heart of the radicchio, the leaves just look like something sucking the juice out, and they just fall out.
Huh.
They don't grow no more.
Okay,
I try putting the tubes, you know, like toilet paper tubes around with the roots, but it doesn't work.
Nothing works. Right. Okay, you know what? Leave this with me. I'm going to report back on that for next Saturday morning.
Okay.
And see if I can come up with a solution. How long does it take before that center starts to die down? Is it a couple of weeks, or do you get, like, are you harvesting right through to July or August, or is that happening in June?
No, it's happening later on. You know, when the radicchio starts to close, you know, like making a ball, like a, you know, and then the leaves are all sucked up, and they just fall out.
Okay.
And they don't grow anymore.
Okay.
I've been trying everything, you know, but right. nothing works. So maybe you can help me with that.
All right. I will report back next Saturday.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your call.
Thanks Bye-bye. For being so patient yeah. since summertime. My gosh, Olga. All the very best. Pardon me. As we I looked toward the clock there, and as I looked up to the studio behind the glass there, there walks Dave Rediger.
My, back from Florida.
Dave's Corner Garage. Alan Gelman is in here, too. He's in fine fettle this morning, too.
I know. I
have to chat with Alan. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, they're both fun guys.
Fine fettle.
And they're very, very knowledgeable about that's any right. sort of vehicle at all.
That's true. And you, my dear, what are you doing today?
Well, I'm back at 1 o'clock, of mm-hmm. course, for Live in the City with mm-hmm. Frankie Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then from 2 to 3, of course, it's The Diner. And what I'm going to do today on The Diner, since it's a new year, I'm going to ask only people who have never made it onto the show to send me their
requests
via the phone. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Right. Well, yeah. that's it. You never know. People might who have been wanting.
Yeah, just can't get through.
Can't get
yeah.
through. Yep, yep. Very cool.
And you?
Me, I'm going to go home. I think it's time to take the Christmas tree down.
Oh, I accomplished that the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
I haven't. No, so it's time for me to do that. I think it's getting to that point, you know.
Yeah, or you just leave it and redecorate it for Easter.
at some point, it's going to start dropping needles. So I think it's time to get that moving on and moving out.
Well, thanks for a great show, Charles.
Yes,
it's been
and
fun.
Thank you so much for being the best undergardener out there.
And James, all the best. See you at 1.
We couldn't do this without James. Thanks to all our great callers as well. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio. The new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio. The new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.